Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth.
Hey, thanks for coming back to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show, a Big Radio Midgets production. And we've got Robert Arena with us today. Robert is Vice President of Interactive at Carton Donofrio Partners out of Baltimore. And looking at his bio, he's a graduate of Johns Hopkins University, which is not a bad place, you know?
Right.
But the interesting thing is he began his career as a pioneer in the political applications of the Internet. His first position in the industry, a director of Internet strategy for Dole for President and the Dole Kemp 96 campaign.
So, you know, he's known as the guy that put the pencil in his left hand.
Yes.
Dole.
Yes.
and he's a pioneer, so he was in the Stagecoach, I think, when he started that
something
website.
Like that. 96, yes. Yeah, that was 1896, right? Exactly.
Right.
But anyway, a lot of political stuff in his background as well. But we'll tell you more about Robert here in just a moment on The Advertising Show. So Xerox, they're the centenarian. They're a centenarian. You and I are not centenarians.
Thankfully.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I suppose if...
I don't know. Maybe not.
But Xerox, yeah. Famed for the Super Bowl campaign showing a monk, Brother Dominic, copying rather than transcribing. What a great spot that was.
Yeah,
but
it was a good spot.
What they're saying is, indeed, the old-fashioned copier company, and even the more recent, as we know them as a document company, now launches a product or service every 11 days. 2.5 billion in sales for the first three quarters of 07, 8% increase. The brand, they say, is strong, but the visual brand did not fully represent what Xerox is today, which is why they are changing the look and the feel and the taste of that brand. So,
yeah.
Interesting.
And if you want to know something interesting about IBM, Google them and check out how much they make each year on intellectual property.
For IBM
licensing
or
and things. No, IBM.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not
you.
Xerox, but as a company. How long ago was it, Ray, that you canceled your Penthouse subscription in exchange for the Abercrombie and Fitch publication that was out?
When I was 17.
Ago? Yeah, I guess it was.
Yeah.
Abercrombie and Fitch plans to relaunch its highly controversial magazine in Britain this spring, Ray. The magazine will launch in April, so set your, make note on your calendars, and will be shot by photographer Bruce Weber. According to London's independent newspaper, the catalog, called the A&F Quarterly, was once published in the U.S., as we may recall, and we reported about it here on The Advertising Show, and sold in A&F stores, but was eventually folded because of the huge number of complaints about its racy content. The magazine closed in 2003, which we were only a few years into doing the show at that point. Despite having average circulation of 1.2 million, it was full of, shall we say, sexual innuendo, young models at various states of undress. It was pretty racy, I should say. They also had an interview with, to give you the level of journalism, Ray, porn star Jenna Jameson.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know.
That
show
was
these...
your old girlfriend, wasn't it?
Before she got into the,
exactly.
the theater
exactly.
and film business.
Well,
no.
Dolce & Gabbana does the same thing with their ads. Look at their print ads. I mean, geez, oh, man.
That's true. But but A&F did the publication, and that's what really got them in trouble. So they're going to print it out of Britain, UK now, and where things are a little more acceptable in that area, I suppose.
So Larry Flint was no way involved in this then, I guess, huh?
Yeah. Not yet. They might interview him. It'd be a good interview.
That would be a strange interview.
Yeah, the young people don't want to read about him anyway.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Sony is going to provide content for YouTube, according to a MarketWatch article here. They agreed to provide 5-minute versions of several of their most popular TV shows for viewing on YouTube sharing websites, the video sharing websites. The Computer Electronics Show. You know, it's a shame we couldn't have been there. Would have been cool.
Yeah, it would have been nice.
Sony Pictures Television, short versions of Married with Children, News Radio, known as Minisodes, will help expand the brand for shows to the online universe. 21 shows will be available at the Minisode Network. Hmm. They also plan to launch other channels on YouTube, including some that will include original content. Well, isn't that what YouTube is kind of all about?
Right.
So, anyway.
But, I mean, why are they doing these old sitcoms, like News
like
Radio?
Like News Radio and Married with Children? I don't know. Yeah. That's a very good question.
Yeah. I don't know that those programs are even in syndication anymore, so I don't know.
I don't think they are.
Maybe that's why they got them.
They end up on TV Land for a little while, and they go away.
They're not even on TV Land anymore. Yeah, you're right.
By the
so
way,
maybe it's cost.
We had Ray Ban, which is a real guy, Ray Ban, on the show.
The Weather Channel.
The Weather Channel, I don't know whether it's sold or not yet, but it was for sale.
Mm.
So if you're out there looking for a Weather Channel to buy, well, it would be a good time to get one because
you've
got one up for grabs. And I got to tell you, they make a couple of bucks, okay? So it's got good value.
We did have Ray Ban on the show, and of course, no sunglass jokes because that's the obvious.
Yeah.
But he had written a book, as I recall, and it was a history of the Weather Channel and how it came about and was, and gosh, I guess what was that, 02, 03 when we had him on the show?
Yeah. A while back. I'm going to see who we've got coming up here. I've got somebody. I know who it is. It's Gene Bliss. Closing the loop is what we're talking about today. Let's listen.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome, with your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
One business-to-business company I know actually does an annual review with their best customers of what they needed and wanted, and what was delivered, and how it was delivered. They do this for several reasons. First, to reinforce the strength and bonds of the relationship, to summarize what they did well, and to promise to do better in things where improvement was required, and third, to work with customers to define their needs for the future. They then use this knowledge to establish a customized touchpoint plan for their most fiercely loyal and profitable customers. There's nothing more important to good customers than asking for their feedback, doing something about it, and then telling them what you did. But most companies don't close the loop. We ask and we ask and we ask with no follow-through. Secure the relationship when you ask about how to improve by actually doing something about it and then marketing that action back to your best and most loyal customers. They'll be glad they stay with a company who cares so much.
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to CustomerBliss.com.
Thanks, Gene, as always, for being a part of the Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth. Robert Arena will be on with just a couple of moments from now, Vice President of Interactive at Carton Donofrio Partners out of Baltimore. As VP of the Interactive Division, Robert oversees the use of the Internet and emerging technologies to benefit clients in B2B, education, consumer sectors. Since joining CDP in 2004, Robert has worked with virtually every client on the agency's roster to create integrated campaigns, increase the value of their web efforts. In the under his direction, CDP has created a variety of innovative web-based initiatives, including PlayWorld Systems, a Value of Play. It's a microsite. Walden University is a video-based Real People, Real Change, and EMM Group's Direct Mail podcast program, which drove chief marketing officers to a custom microsite as well. The Baltimore Area Convention and Visitors Association, Visit My Baltimore and Are You In It, and a whole bunch more, which earned him a Silver Addy as well. So Robert Arena is here in just a moment on the Advertising Show.
Yeah, and it should be a good interview. In fact, we're going to just instant message him during the interview instead of talking to him, since he does come from the interactive side.
That's all right. While we were doing this, I got McAfee'd.
You got McAfee'd,
yeah,
yes.
I hate that program.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I use the standard, the standard.
Clorox.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's exactly
the
right.
All new and improved. You know, Ray, I don't know. We don't have time. We'll talk about it later. Never mind. Forget it. It wasn't important.
It looked good there.
Yeah, it did.
I'll bring
good.
It back. That's fine.
Yeah.
We'll with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth on the Advertising Show. We'll be back with Robert Arena in just a moment.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth.
Another public service announcement from Brill Cream. Men, beware. Use one dab of Brill Cream. Just a little dab makes your hair look exciting.
Makes your hair fall out. It's not, just not good, though. It's Ray Schillens with Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show. Out of Baltimore, the Vice President of Interactive at Carton Donofrio Partners, it's Robert Arena. Hey, Robert, it's good to have you here on The Advertising Show. Welcome.
Thank you, Ray.
Yeah, and, you know, your firm, they claim to do advertising from the outside in. I know Ray mentioned you went to Johns Hopkins, and I assume that wasn't the medical school, but describe what you mean by this, and how does that differ from traditional advertising and marketing approaches, Robert?
Well, I think that you know, our agency's philosophy of outside in is to really start with the customer experience as the starting point for what does your brand mean to them. And then how does your brand fit into their lives? And then from that, to develop programs that use a variety of different mediums, whether it be the traditional print or television and radio, or it be direct with direct mail and online email, or whether it be just online display advertising or search. There are so many different ways in which a brand is experienced by the customer that to ignore that fact and to not really factor that into your overall planning, I think, misses a big opportunity to really take some efficiency into the market, and that's how we approach the market.
Yeah, and we're going to talk a little bit about how you integrate interactive to traditional marketing. But first, in 2005, you were quoted in MarketWatch article entitled "Podcasting Gets Ready for Prime Time," and said Apple presents a huge opportunity for podcasts and sponsors. And it went on to say that most podcasting programs don't know what they're worth. So, how did you do with these predictions back in 2005?
Well, I think if you look at the adoption of Apple's iPod, it is for two seasons now been the most popular holiday gift, one of the most popular electronics devices on Amazon consistently. The market space out there for these things is now enormous. And you go now into the extension of podcasting no longer is confined just to video. The new Nano that Apple puts out, which was, again, one of the most popular Christmas gifts of the season, is a video device. The iPhone, which has shipped about 1.5 million handsets, is a video device. And so podcasting doesn't need to be confined solely to audio anymore. It can now also be video. And so I think it just the opportunity continues to grow and to expand. The podcast library 2 years ago in the iTunes catalog was extremely limited. If you go on there today, there's a podcast for everything.
So have podcasts figured out what they're worth? Back in 2005, I would imagine that was a struggle.
I think it's gotten easier, but I think it remains a question of, you know, where does it fit in the media plan? Where
right.
does it fit in the interactive plan? Is it, you know, it's not quite as trackable and measurable as, say, a banner ad is. So it becomes more, in the metrics land of things, it becomes more like radio. And so in that sense of things, it tends to be harder to figure out where it fits in the plan. It becomes more opportunistic. If it's a really niche podcast, it can make good sense. But you have to have some extra budget to do that, basically, because it is less measurable.
Yeah, you know, Ray and I talk a lot about this on the show, and I would think it's such a shame, and I'm not saying that just because we have had a podcast for many years here, but it's such a shame that podcasting is lumped into that same category as radio, because we see both as podcast practitioners as well as advertising people, a big difference between radio, which is pushed to consumers, as opposed to podcasts, which are actually the listener is seeking out that content. And you would think that in the latter, no matter how large your audience might be, we're proud that our audience is in the tens of thousands each month. But regardless of the size of your audience, you would think there's more value to listeners that are actually seeking the content and that maybe are listening more attentively and as a result will listen to a commercial message with the same amount of intention and interest as they are the content. And that's a whole different model, I think, than traditional commercial radio.
I would completely agree with that. I think that it's niche marketing on steroids in that sense. It makes magazines look broad. And I think in that sense of things, it is a much more attentive audience. Is that going to be true 2 to 5 years from now? you know, who knows? I would still think so. I think that, you know, our philosophy and our belief is that advertising serves a purpose in people's lives. It helps people to find goods and services that make their lives better, that solve a problem for them, that do something for them. And if you think about the niche market of podcasting, you've already found your audience. And so I see it as of enormous and tremendous value, but I do think it struggles from the planning standpoint.
Yeah. You know, before we close out this segment, I want to get your reaction to key online predictions for 2008 that came from e-marketers. Just give me your quick reaction to several of these. Online ads stay resilient.
I think that's definitely true, particularly as you move into a question of if marketers begin to shrink budgets or if you start to see a consumer dollar shrinking and you're looking for the needle in the haystack of the consumer who still is in the spend mode. Consumers tend to get a little bit more choosy about their products if they're a little more budget conscious. So more information tends to probably be, I would think, on balance, more useful than awareness overall. I think it's a hard thing to say, but I do think that online probably picks up as a result.
And in 2008, video surge slows. True or false?
I would disagree with that. It depends on where you define video. I mean, you know, as I said, you know, you got the iPod, but now has video. The use of video in mobile devices is going to explode in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Does the growth of video on the web slow? I would have a hard time saying that, because as you look at the competition in the online space on just the news networks, you know, CNN and MSNBC, and MSNBC's new player is extremely interactive and very advanced, and there's a lot of things going on there, and you can watch full-run programs across a whole spectrum of things. I have a hard time seeing how, as you know, whether you have a DVR or not, if you miss a show, you're going to be able to credibly watch it in ABC on HD. HD on your desktop. How does that not continue to grow? I don't think most users are watching long-form programming on their TV, on their computer yet, but I think that is becoming more possible.
And just a couple more here. YouTube decides the election?
Well, I can tell you from personal experience that YouTube most certainly decided the 2006 congressional elections. Howard Dean has said to me personally that there's no question that without YouTube, we probably would not have picked up the United States Senate. A little side note to your bio piece, I'm actually now a Democrat. I converted to the Democrat Party in 2000. The Macaca moment was a huge one, and for politics it was enormous. And it was because all of the ingredients had finally come to pass. You had blogs as a distribution mechanism. They had already gained large audiences in 2004, and you could quickly and easily send a message out over that network. And so this moment happens where you catch a candidate being real, and all you have to do is make sure enough people see that candidate is real. In the old days, you would have had to take that video as a campaign to news media. So you'd have to decide internally, do we want to distribute this? Then you'd have to take it to a couple editors. You have to convince them it was a real story. You'd have to try to give them some context. And then maybe they might run it. And that day is gone. That control over political information by a small segment of people is over. And that is not going to come back. And so, yeah, I think YouTube has the potential to decide an election.
We have our very special guest, Robert Arena, out of Baltimore. Rob is vice president of Interactive at Carton Donofrio Partners in Baltimore. And we'll have more with Mr. Democrat here in just a moment. You and a few others, I guess, Rob, on the advertising show, powered by Shipple.com. It's a marketing platform called Tendency that really drives this thing and kicks it into high gear. Check it out at Shipple.com. We'll be back with more with Rob and Ray and Brad on the advertising show in just a moment.
Why do more media professionals read IWantMedia.com? IWantMedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. IWantMedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says IWantMedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit IWantMedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
When you say but, you've said a lot of things nobody else can say. When you say but.
Welcome back to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth, and out of Baltimore, Robert Arena, who is Vice President of Interactive at Carton Donofrio Partners. Rob, it's great to have you here on the Advertising Show. Welcome back.
Thanks again, Ray.
Yeah, and you know, I wasn't planning on it, but gosh, we're getting such a great reaction from the eMarketer 2008 online predictions. I'm going to stay with a few here. And by the way, you mentioned Howard Dean and YouTube deciding the election. I guess Howard had a little YouTube video that maybe cost him the election.
Absolutely, but that one got displayed all over the networks and it's an infinite loop.
Right. Right. Yes, exactly. One of the predictions eMarketer is suggesting is buy online, pick up in store becomes a stock feature.
I think clearly if you're a retailer and you see that many of your potential customers recognize the convenience of shopping online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, not having holiday traffic and all the things that go along with that, there's a clear offer there. And many companies like Target do that. But there's also this thing that everyone has as a consumer, which is, but I want it now. And I think that is a retailer is a huge benefit. To be able to tie those two pieces more integratedly together, I think is ultimately gonna be a huge success for them. That's a big technological hurdle. It's a big corporate change hurdle. It's a systems integration hurdle. All of those things have to happen. So whether that happens in 2008 or not, I think really depends on if they started those things in 2006.
Yeah, and I'm going to use a term I haven't in years, and that's, the way I see it is it's a brick-and-mortar differentiator from the pure-play retail is what's happening there, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So movie downloads go mainstream in 2008, would you think?
If all the rumors are correct, there's a later rumors that Apple will launch a series of iTunes rentals. There's plenty of evidence that's going to happen. I think there's no question about that we are entering into the anything, anytime, on-demand world that was sort of offered up to us in the Quest advertising in the heyday in the 90s when they were talking about being able to watch any movie, anytime, in any language, on demand. Well, we're probably 8 or 10 years out from where that was, but that's pretty much where we're getting. The hindrance here is not in the technology. The hindrance here is in old Hollywood figuring out how to make money in the new world. It's mm-hmm. not. It's all about law, rights management, and of course about money. So that's if they can get past that, if they can figure it out, if they can come up with some way that it's equitable, yeah, it'll happen. But if they continue to, you know, you get a writer strike, and the impact of that on the industry is enormous. And so, I don't have a whole lot of faith in the old line industries right now to really understand where the world is going and how quickly they have to move on this before the user will move somewhere else.
Yeah, well said. And one final topic here. You know, in 07, I recall reading somewhere towards the end of last year that iTunes revenue exceeded CDs for the music industry, and they're suggesting that the music marketers will roll out a new business model in 2008. What are your thoughts on that?
You've seen some of that. Sony Bertelsmann is going to release unprotected MP3s for purchase online. I think there's a recognition that different formats for different people and locking people into rights management isn't necessarily a good thing. The problem that all the record companies have is that Apple owns 78% of the market or some enormous figure in that nature. It's difficult to call the shots when you have one player in the space that's really doing that for you. They haven't had the same success in the movie business. So we'll see where they can do with that. The music business, however, I think is really kind of still in the waves and throes of where the consumer is. I think there's still benefit to getting a CD and having a hard copy of something for your collection. I think there's some value in that, and ripping it right onto your computer is a nice way to take it with you elsewhere. And if that computer ever dies and you need to get it back, sure. I think you might actually see, there's been a lot of rumors, you might actually see something similar for video, where encoded onto DVDs that you buy in the store is going to be a version for your iPod. That probably will use digital rights management, but if they can solve that problem, I think you'll see that in video as well.
Mm-hmm. And moving, what do we have here, Ray? A couple minutes?
Yeah, about a minute and a half, actually.
Minute and a half. Real quickly, researchers are pointing to the prediction next year that online ad spending will reach an all-time high of $44.6 billion. And yet, we have a rise of pay-per-click and other online advertising. What do you expect to see next year? Is this going to be... Do online advertisers and marketers need to be a little smarter about what they're doing with the price raises?
I mean, I think, you know, the pay-per-click model is clearly, you know, an interesting one. You know, everything is competitive and it's relative to what someone else is interested in. But like any kind of open market, you can get the ebb and the flow of panic sometimes into a market may drive cost up. It starts to look a lot more like the stock market, and I'll let the stock market analysts figure out if there's a model in there to be able to predict pricing. There probably is. I think the display advertising business is about to, if it hasn't already, it's not going to cap out, but the growth is diminished, and we're looking at a single audience now. There's been discussion for the past year or two about an upfront for online properties, and I'll tell you, as a working with customers who are looking to buy things, sometimes you want to do a quick opportunistic buy at the end of the year, and there's no inventory. So I think that regardless of whether the demand or whether the supply, I think you got a supply problem, I guess, is what I'm saying, and I don't know that if that supply doesn't dramatically increase, we're not in a position where, you know, it doesn't really matter. The costs are going to go up anyway just because you have a limited amount of eyeballs.
We're going to take a break here on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. We'll be back with more in just a minute.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call.
Welcome back to The Advertising Show. Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth, and Robert Arena. Rob is Vice President of Interactive Carton at Carton Donofrio Partners. Rob, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. That is the preceding commercial of CB USA and your Chevrolet.
Yes.
If that is not advertising, all wrapped up in a pretty bow, I don't know what it is.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah. And Dinah Shore, she was dating Bert when he had hair
That was before Bert.
Yeah, that's true. BB. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about measurement in advertising, which is always a bit of a challenge, I suppose. But I'm curious, how at your firm can Interactive be measured to gauge your client's ROI?
Well, I think that, you know, the most important thing about measurement is not just what the agency's point of view is, but it's really what the client's point of view is. And I think that sometimes, you know, we obviously in the media portion of our businesses do a lot of metrics on click-throughs and things like that, but there are other metrics that are equally as useful, and I think they need to be bought in with by the client up front. And the first one I just throw out is just time spent. How much time did you spend on this site? And when you start to look at engagement and the user being able to drive that conversation, how much time they spend with you is really important. And so I think ROI is not just about a figure at the end of the day that said this click cost this much. I think it has to be a much broader metric.
Yeah, very good point. The notion that technology and designs are means to an end, not ends in themselves, is an idea espoused by your firm. Talk a little bit about this philosophy, Robert.
I mean, I think it's the same philosophy that any traditional advertising agency struggles in, is, you know, the ad needs to be this perfect, beautiful thing, and the customer and the client has all of these needs and they want to get done, and that tension can always be somewhat of a challenge. It's highlighted even more so in the internet, because if you think about what a designer's role is in, say, developing a banner ad that you can engage with and interact with, you're asking that designer not just to design something that is visually appealing and eye-catching, but also then it's this functional application, basically, that has all of these different layers to it. And, you know, there can be tabs, there can be rollovers. That, as a designer, to try to have that in your mind is very, very challenging, I think. And it's one of, I think, the more difficult parts of the online space. I think it's, for creative people, a really interesting problem to have to figure out.
Yeah. Search engines, an area of practice for your firm. And I'm curious, When it comes to SEO, so many people talk about that. They know the term, but yet I'm not sure they really understand in 2008 some of the more innovative things being done in that area. Talk a little bit about what you guys are up to.
Well, if you think about what search engine optimization is about, it's letting people find your thing before they find somebody else's thing. And that tends to be about content and a lot about writing and a lot about keywords today. And there's ways to do it organically, and there's ways to try to supplement that with paid search. Organic search is driven a lot off of how many people link to your site and what the value is of those sites. And so you see for search engine optimization, word-of-mouth marketing is a really effective and useful tool when used in conjunction. And so I think, you know, there's all the standard business practices of search engine optimizing a website, all the standard practices of pay-per-click, but I really think it's the synergy of really looking at word-of-mouth marketing as a part of your overall business practice that actually really is one of the most effective ways to get your SEO up.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about the move towards mass consumption of mobile video. I know it's a big thing now, and a lot of companies are getting into that. Do we have time, Ray?
Less than a minute. Go for it.
Less than a minute.
All right, in less than a minute, mobile video is the new frontier from a video consumption standpoint. It's the device that's always in your pocket, and, you know, sitting in a cab going from an airport to somewhere, it's a little mobile video in your pocket. Maybe it's 2 minutes, maybe it's a minute, maybe it's half of a TV show you watched. It's something to kill some time. It's something to do on the subway. And there's so many places and spaces in our life where we have to wait in line that it's just by its nature something that is going to be attentive to the user. I think it's a really amazing opportunity for advertisers.
And on that, very good, by the way. We got time for the tag and the phone number at the end there as well.
Yeah.
Robert Arena, Vice President of Interactive at Carton Donofrio Partners. CartonDonofrio.com is the website. Check it out. And Robert, thanks again for being here on the Advertising Show.
Thanks so much, guys.
We'll be back with more in just a minute.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsyth.
Hello, amigo.
It's the Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsyth. Great interview, and we hope you enjoyed it as much as we did with Robert Arena here on the Advertising Show, theadvertisingshow.com. Let's see, everything's internet these days, which is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. There's a company, I've never heard of these people, out of Tokyo called Matsuhita. Panasonic, Google to launch internet television. They're developing televisions that display internet content such as photos and videos together with the Matsuhita Electric Industry Company's limited Panasonic unit. The TVs to be launched this coming spring will allow users to directly browse and access videos from YouTube, a video sharing website owned by Google, and by Picasa Web Albums, a free online photo sharing service from Google, and Panasonic issued that statement a couple of weeks ago. So that's kind of cool. That's neat.
Yeah, that came from the electronics show, I think, in Vegas. And that, I read about that, and that was, Google could really do some interesting things developing a TV that has internet access, or at least develop content. So we'll see how that goes.
They've now invested aggressively in plasma displays in a belief that the most cost-effective technology for flat TVs, bigger than 37, while producing LCD panels to make TVs for the smaller set. So that's the whole thing. I mean, what do you go with? Do you go with LCD or the other stuff?
It's plasma. Who knows? I'm still trying to get my beta recorder to work.
You got to change the tape.
I'm listening to 8-track now. It really sounds better than cassette.
Go ahead and clean the heads with some alcohol. That'll do it.
And a Q-tip.
And a capstan.
You know, congratulations to Interpublic's initiative, who won $735 million in media of car makers Hyundai and Kia, ousting the incumbent Aegis Group, Kara, as well as Havas Media, both also friends here of the Advertising Show. Publicis Group's Optimedia also pitched the business, but was cut before the final round. So congratulations to Initiative, $735 million. Dollars for the Hyundai and Kia account. That's the media side of that business.
I'll go get the bottle of champagne right now.
Yeah.
As I'm sure they have as well. In 2008, Patrick Meyer says he is quicker and sexier. Well, let's find out.
We'll be the judge of that.
Welcome to Understanding the Future Now. It's the Marketing Insider featuring Patrick Meyer.
Repeat after me. Quicker, faster, sexier, cooler. That, my friends, is probably your biggest challenge because that's where the consumer is going. What I'm talking about is the fact that there are basic human needs, and you do not have to be a rocket scientist to predict this. But many executives are surprised when they get blindsided by the competition, or even worse, when another industry obsoletes your business model, like Nokia and Motorola as leaders in camera sales last year via their cell phones, or HP as the imaging leader, and where is Kodak? Totally blindsided. Well, no surprise, what the consumer wants is quicker, faster, sexier, cooler, more fun, smaller, bigger, more experiential, better, best value. That's what it's all about. So when you are doing things, advertising or marketing-wise or new product-wise, every day, say, how can I make it quicker, faster, sexy, cooler, more fun, make it bigger, make it smaller, make it more experiential, or make it a better, best value? A great example is cell phones. All around us, constantly doing this. Everything from ringtones to razors to slivers to new colors, now with TV, even Bono with red. It's constantly quicker, faster, sexier, cooler. Go back to your business, do the same thing. How do we do that on everything that we do every day? Quicker, faster, sexy, cooler.
You've been listening to The Marketing Insider, heard every week here on The Advertising Show. Join us next week for more insight into the future of marketing.
This is Patrick Meyer as your Marketing Insider. And remember, the revolution is now. Hey, you want to know more? Go to nowinc.net or send me an email at patrick@nowinc.net.
Thanks, Patrick Meyer, a continued supporter here of The Advertising Show with great features all year long, and we'll continue with that into 2008. With Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show, what you have there looks very interesting.
Yeah, well, you know, Hollywood executives revealed that advertising has become the digital revenue model of choice for its productions after years of, not what they had hoped for in terms of revenues for paid downloads. During a panel of the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas, which we've been talking about the last few shows, executives overseeing digital distribution at ABC, TV, Fox, Warner Brothers, Paramount, etc., most of them talking about centered around the high quality streaming and on demand video. I don't know about you, Ray, but I think most people online want to watch it for free, especially when they can get content for free.
Via,
and so downloading to one's hard drive, what the deal was in the beginning.
Yeah.
People aren't saving that. I mean, today in 2008, they want to see something and then move on. So
yeah.
I don't know. Most of us watch content online to watch it more on impulse rather than some kind of paid subscription model. So.
Well, exactly, and we know it'll be there when we go back to watch it as well. And
yeah.
As far as watching content for immediate, an opportunity, you see something, whether it be a news story or something that related to your day-to-day activities, you want to save that stuff.
Well, and it's interesting because here we are in the middle of all this, and it's evolving to an advertising model. Wall Street Journal at WSJ.com is planning on, they say, since Rupert Murdoch bought that, that would be News Corp, of course. They say they're going to do away with the subscription model and go to an advertising model. And that means they're going to lose millions of dollars in subscribers because they're one of the more well-subscribed online versions of a traditional publication.
Yeah.
But they should make, in the long run, much, much more millions by moving to an advertising model. So we'll see.
There's nothing wrong with that. I don't mind watching a commercial. And,
no.
As far as downloading stuff to your hard drive or stuff, whether it's a television show or something or even a movie, I mean, we can do that anytime with the DVR. So why would we want to do anything with the with the Internet side?
Exactly.
I don't know. Maybe it makes sense here. Hope you enjoyed today's show with Robert Arena, Vice President of Interactive, Carton Donofrio Partners. And we have more, obviously, coming your way next week. In between now and then, do me a favor. Tell a friend about The Advertising Show. Advertising Show lives at theadvertisingshow.com. It is chock full of programming material. And also, hey, by the way, Brad, very recently, we lost Phil Dusenberry here.
I saw that.
It was kind of a sad thing, but he lived a long life and obviously made an impact. So Hats off to you, Phil. You had a great life and made a lot of people happy as well.
Yeah.
Did some good things. Advertising Show brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.